السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. We welcome you to another episode of Ask the Imam, question and answer and fatwa session. So we have quite a few questions. As you know, if you want to post your questions or your questions to be answered, please send us an email at asktheimam@themasjid.org. That is asktheimam@themasjid.org. We have two questions actually asked by a sister. One is concerning the Bihamit. And she's wondering, what are the restrictions? What are the exceptions? She sees a lot of people eating other than what they call it, the Bihamit, from, let's say, American stores or restaurants like Chick-fil-A and things like this. What are the rulings on this? What are the guidelines? Are they right to not eat, to eat from restaurants? Are they wrong? Are they eating haram meat when they do this? So these questions always been asked by many people who only stick to the Bihamit that they get from Islamic stores. Yes.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salam, rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi min wala ba'd. First of all, I would like to say it is important for a person to make sure that they consume what is halal.
But
because this is an important thing, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any body that nurtures by haram, and that haram is coming from haram income or haram
in of itself, yes.
So, you know, belong to the hellfire. Kamaqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us, kunu min fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Allah said, and for us, eat from what I have put in earth, which is halal, lawful, and good for you. And no doubt, Islam also forbids certain specific type of food, specific type of meat they're not allowed to eat, but the general everything else is halal.
Right.
So, for a person to care about this, this is a good thing. Okay, it's not a bad thing. Here comes to what about eating what we call halal meat? I would like to say this: the biha.
They call it the biha. Yes.
The word. There is nobody ever says you are allowed to eat non-dabiha. Non-dabiha means a dead meat.
Right.
You know, or a prey that hunted by a wild beast and killed it. Then you come and you scavenger it or eat from it. That's, nobody ever said that's allowed to eat this thing. The debate is, do we consider this dabiha or not?
Right.
I'll tell you, when I went to England, you know, somebody picked me up from the airport and he drove me literally, Sheikh, 47 minutes in London's traffic. Why? Because he wanted to show me a halal McDonald. Okay? So
that's
very far away.
That's a good thing, though, right?
Anyway, so shall we have halal McDonald's? Blah, blah, blah. This is obviously quite a long time ago. So after he finished, I said, he never told me why he drove me that far. Then he said, we have a lot of these in Texas. We have a lot of them in Texas. It's a joke for the whole weekend. He's been telling everybody we should move to Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, the halal McDonald's everywhere. Yeah. And later I told him, you know, my method, the way I choose, I don't have a problem with eating from the general public.
Right.
You know, stores. For me, all these stores also, as long as it's beef, it's halal.
Right.
And he was like, he couldn't process this. But from the catch is in the free.
You blow his bubble.
Yeah. So the phrase of halal or the biha, you know, what that means to you, it relatively sometimes it means that I eat from people who have, who met, for example, Muslims, or I eat from people who like a culture store, you know, and that became more and more that what people think of, equal to the word halal. But in order for this to be halal meat, it has to be killed by a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to know the exact person who slaughtered the animal. We go by the general. You know, if this is considered a Christian country, Christian nation, Jews and Christians and Muslims are majority in this country, it will take the rule.
Bring proof to the opposite.
Yeah. Right. Unless you know for sure that this person, and this particular animal, slaughtered by a Hindu or a Buddhist or an atheist. But as a general rule, that's what it is. It's like a Muslim country. We don't... Maybe what if some people who like Ismaili, for example, Qadiani, you know, considered Muslim according to the Muslims. Slaughter, you know, somebody doesn't believe in God and he work as law. We don't go to these possibilities.
With these exceptions.
Yeah,
right?
Exceptions.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, it has to be slaughtered. Okay? And slaughtering, there's a debate among the scholars what's considered slaughter, but as long as the blood
has
basically gush out from the animal, okay, that's sufficient. Some scholars said even if it is one, you know, you have the throat and you have the...
It has been drained off the body, yes.
General, it has to be one of these three.
Okay.
So not like stabbing it on the stomach and bleeding it.
Okay.
They have to be from the neck. So you do basically to the two jugular or the throat, you cut it, as we say in Arabic. So one of them, three of them is the best. One of them, two of them, according to the different opinions, it will be sufficient. But as long as the blood start gushing out, alhamdulillah. So it's not, for example, electric shot and that's it.
Yeah.
Or take the chicken and smash its head and that's it. Now, also another condition that ulama rahimahullah debate, is it must or not must? We say bismillah. Okay? And bismillah, it is, in the opinion that I lean towards, it is highly, it's wajib if you remember, and it is forgiven if you don't remember. Okay? And also, bismillah is not a must because, first of all, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they ask, Ya Rasulullah, we eat from the people of the book. And we don't know if they say bismillah or not. He said, you say bismillah and eat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's
so if it is must and condition, it will not be with the possibility allowed for you to eat. Also, another thing is, Ahlul Kitab, not necessarily they say bismillah. Actually, if a Jewish or Christian said the name of Jesus, because that's the Allah for them, or in the name of whatever God, that will be haram, and it will be not allowed to.
Right, right.
It was, وَهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ
It's
slaughter with the name other than Allah. So that will be absolutely haram. So with this being said, and the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, we noticed that's, and if you look at the context of this verse, it's clearly talk about the shirk, about those who slaughter to other than Allah.
Yeah.
Allah said, don't eat from what Allah's name is not mention it. But other, basically, if you look at the context, talk about the people who mention other than Allah's name on the animals.
They used to
perform sacrifice.
Yes, for the idols.
For their idols. And that's what I lead towards. Some scholar became more strict about this, that he must say bismillah more. Instead of that, I respect that. You have to understand that this is barely two big schools, you know? And to say it must be said bismillah or it will be haram, it's actually put a lot of people in haraj. Because it is...
In difficulty, yes. Yes.
It's not imaginable when you have hundreds of thousands of animals killed at the same time. And bismillah, yani, the possibility of not saying it, it's very high, actually.
Right.
طيب, there is some people said in America they stun the animals or they electrocute the animals or put them in an electrode or put on. Now they use a gas to make them drowsy. It's not meant to kill the animal. It's not 100% to, or it's not meant the speed that it is clever in a way. The collaboration of that gun, stunning gun, is meant to make it drowsy, not to feel unconscious. Then they slaughter. Yes, it's not from the sin of the Prophet, but as long as it's still alive. And I asked personally many people in slaughterhouse, they said, very rare for it to die, especially big animal, you know? So, and by the way, just for the record, this method is used in many Muslim countries.
Right.
I see the slaughterhouse and children.
When you have mass induction like this.
It's like it's not something new, you know? In many countries, they use this similar method, you know, especially when you have a... chickens and to make them settle to be cut, with the machines, not with the hand. Speaking of which, there is some people became more strict. They said the only halal if it's cut by the hand, not by machine. I mean, all these strict restrictions remind me of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us and we make it hard for us.
Right. Right.
And I want to say, one of the reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the... So let me finish this and I'll come to the last point. So with this being said, I do see here some people, some scholars, and respected opinion says, no, you're not allowed to eat outside what you know for sure that's done according to these conditions. And some say, no, these conditions also applicable to the general public because they are Ahlul Kitab. America is a land majority still Christians and Jews. And basically the way animals slaughter in general, and we are allowed to eat it. And I lean towards that. Also, there is another thing that is important to keep in mind. Why, Sheikh, you think Allah allowed us to eat from the people of the book, the food of the people of the book? To make it?
To make it easy for the people. And it is part of the coexistence that we have.
That's another thing. Right. But one first, to make it easy.
Right.
You know, actually, we need this more than anything when you travel, when you're in a city, whereas I know people drive like hundreds of miles away just to go to a halal store, and they make it so... the whole concept of it's a rukhsa.
Right.
This rukhsa, which is a break, a gift from Allah, there is a big chunk of brother and sister today, they rejected this rukhsa from Allah.
And it becomes difficult on them. It
became useless.
Right.
Yani, this rules is literally useless today for them. It's impossible. Allah will not ordain for us something that is useless. That's something which cannot be used.
It remains until the day of judgment, yes.
So why would I put myself in this difficulty? Another thing that also, one of the reasons for Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, you know, is that what you just alluded to, which is the interactions. Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed that those who take that opinion, you know, your presence and being exist in general, large restaurants of the Muslim community, being part of the society, have actually more positive impact than being so isolated.
Exactly.
In a very isolated...
Like an enclave, yes.
And I think that's not a very, in my opinion, this is a very healthy thing. You know, I call upon, and this is something I give credit to Toronto, which is just came from. I call upon our even halal stores is to be, you know, to care about, you know, the shari process of the bima, but also about the quality of the meat. Which is very sad.
Very good point.
Very sad today to tell you that many people who sell halal meat, they don't care about what kind of animals that they buy. Some people told me sometimes they buy the cheapest on the market. You know, I would like to see about the process the animal treated with dignity. Like when you buy now cage-free.
You're right.
We have more rights over this. One time, a person from an animal rights activist met with me. Mm-hmm. And told me that he has a report about a Muslim slaughterhouse. He said it's one of the most inhumane way I ever seen in my life. And he was talking to me to reach out, said, talk about it, Sheikh. Reach out. I know in your religion it's not allowed to do that. So mm-hmm. we would like to see more care about this conversation to take place as well, which is at-tayyib, not only the halal, the good.
Yeah.
It means a good meat, a good process, a good methods, you know. Also, I think our halal stores should cater to the general public.
Yeah.
So in Toronto, when I went to these steakhouse.
Attract people who...
Steakhouse, one of the best steak I been to. Mm-hmm. Even I saw Sheikh Omar Shukri's pictures on the, you know...
He was like here. What happened to him?
So, you know, these kind of, like, move, and instead of making just a cultural restaurant, it became something that catered to the drink. Like you see Chinese food. I want this to be also more and more and more to make that, you know, interact.
And it becomes like a da'wah opportunity for others, yes.
Chef, there is a reason why the Prophet died. They found his shield was taken as a bond by a Jewish person for
collateral
for a hundredfold handfuls of barley.
Yes.
And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so many companions who are rich. He doesn't need to go to the Jewish person to get money from him or borrow.
Right.
Or put his shield as a collateral. He could have taken from Abdurrahman now from many. And I always ask myself why the Prophet did that.
That's,
and the reason is
very good
to
point.
Show that there is an interaction.
Yeah, engage with them, yes.
We are in this together. We live together. We interact. We eat together. We trade with each other. And that's something I think it is missing in this conversation.
And I like, you know, I really love that you brought up these points. And it's not just the question and the fiqh issue of it. It's just the implication of this lifestyle, you know, living halal lifestyle, and make it inviting to other people from other cultures and other religions that would like to engage with us, and we engage with them. Yes.
With Bin said, I buy most of my meat and chicken and stuff like that from halal stores and from cultural stores, from our, because I want to support our community.
Yes. Business.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, if I'm outside in a restaurant and I need to, I don't see a haram for me to do that, as long as it is, alhamdulillah,
yes,
not poor.
One last point in this topic is that, should this be a problem between the Muslim, you know, different people in the Muslim community, those who eat the biha and those who don't? I mean, they do eat the biha, but they also...
Yeah, don't eat the same.
I mean, should those people who only eat the biha meat that is from halal meat stores look down upon other Muslims who... which might be the majority, actually, that, you go to McDonald's, or you go to Chick-fil-A, you buy your meat from H-E-B or things like this. Should that be something going on?
Yeah, we should respect one another. We should make fun of those who care about this halal issue. And we all care about halal, but those who buy it from a culture stores, and we should not make fun of them. They should not look down upon those who others and assume they are... Yeah, eating haram. You know, sometimes I go outside to eat in a restaurant, general restaurant, and my friend will only eat meat that killed by Muslims or slaughtered by Muslims. And guess what? He would pay for all of us, but he will not eat because he believed that I'm doing something. It's like me praying behind the Hanafi or
Shafi'i.
I might disagree on some issues related to wudu, to ghusl, salah, but still we pray each other because I believe his salah is correct in itself. So,
You do let people pay for you? Because I've never succeeded with you. Every time I went with the sheikh, he would always pay. And I would be glad, of course.
It's enough honor.
Thank you. Barakallahu feek. All right. Thank you for watching this episode. Again, we remind you, it is send an email to asktheimam, all one word, @themasjid.org. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.